is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Excellent. OK, Katie, last night we were speaking with Phil Leonard, and Phil was saying he didn't want to get too enthusiastic at this stage, even though he's very impressed with both Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson, because obviously it's early days, and, you know, how can anybody begin to succeed the sort of line that you actually put in yourself in terms of this? But Jessica's second show, so you've now actually clocked up Jessica. Actually, third show, in fact,
because
you did an hour and a half last week, and then 2 hours yesterday, and then now we're on to Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Emma would have been with us last week. It was a bit poorly, but she's here now. Level 2 journalism student, of course, Emma, and you're back today, so that's good. Good sign, I think.
A lot better.
Encouraging. Exactly. But Katie, you also started in your Level 1 as a Midweek Drive correspondent for Siren 107.3 FM. So, first of all, would you like to just say good morning to them, effectively? It is the Katie Grimason, by the way. She's a regal side of things there. What advice would you give them, Katie?
What about the Midweek Drive?
I think so.
Anything?
Well, I don't know. Emma, what would you like? Midweek Drive advice or anything?
Yeah, give us some radio tips then.
Radio tips.
You'll just get used to it, because I started in my first year and Alex literally thrust the microphone in my face and I was really nervous. And he was like, I'll just speak into that. And then I just had to do it, really.
Which is what we had to do with the American Studies programme as students, etc. We didn't quite thrust the microphone in front of your good self, but it's just a step by step. It's kind of like a diary of the whole thing through. And since then, of course, Katie's also been involved with various sort of trips with us. And now, of course, you're a correspondent for which Birmingham blogging scenario? Is blogging for entertainment things in Birmingham? You're doing what?
Birmingham Live. I get to go around gigs and review them.
There we are.
Oh, great job.
Birmingham Live.
Sounds really
as opposed
really
to Birmingham Half Live, undead, or indeed completely exhausted. But it's great stuff. So when was your last gig, Katie, and where are you heading off to next?
My last gig was at a place called in the Custard Factory, and it was like loads of American psychedelic bands. I'm not going to name any, but it was quite psychedelic rock isn't really my type of music. But my next gig is on Saturday. At the Institute.
There we are. Did you say the Custard Factory there?
No.
No.
Yeah, I did.
Just one of those moments where you thought, did she? No, she didn't. No, she must have had, etc. Katie, I know you're keen to find out what the weather's going to be, so we'll give you a quick mention of that. It's 18 degrees centigrade, a high today, a low of 13 degrees centigrade. There's going to be a lot of cloud around Lincolnshire, but with a few bright spells. So there we are, 18 degrees centigrade, high, low of 13 degrees centigrade, lots of cloud, but with a few bright spells. What's the level of weather like in Birmingham, Ms. Grimason?
It looks quite chilly, but it looks quite sunny as well.
Chilly and sunny.
Both.
So go on, Katie, cast your mind back, what was it, 3 years ago when you were a Level 1 student? Or was it four? No, 3 years ago, etc. Freshers Week has gone, we're now into Week 2 and so on and so forth. Maybe you'd like to have some questions to sort of see how it's changed or not, as the case may be. This is what we call therapy for Katie Grimason. Make sure that she feels she's still connected, even though she's graduated.
How are you finding your first year?
It's going really well. It was a very slow start, I suppose, in terms of lectures, but it was really nice to get to know all...
It's a dangerous line to say,
slow start,
given what happened last Thursday, but
yes,
never mind.
I know.
But one midweek drive, she couldn't even make it to the lecture, Katie. Unbelievable, but still, carry on.
Yeah, so very groggy start for myself. But it was really lovely getting to know all of my lecturers quite well. They all seem like very lovely people, greasing them. I'm actually thoroughly enjoying my course. I love the shorthand already. We'll see how it goes. I'm sure it's going to get more challenging.
And there is a connection, of course, between yourself and Katie, other than the Midweek Drive, it has to be said, Jessica.
Okay.
Yes, because Katie's first early trip abroad was to New Zealand.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Whereabouts did you go?
I went to mainly Auckland, Rotorua. I can't even remember now because it was so long ago. Oh. But then I went for a second time. But I was only there for 2 weeks. And then my mum and dad got to travel around the South Island and Australia, and I missed out on all that.
Yeah, well, we don't worry about the A word, really, in this show.
No, it's
a different slide.
In Australia, no. Yeah, I used to live quite close to Rotorua.
Did you?
Yes, it's a very smelly place, I must admit. It's all the gases.
As far as I'm aware, the universe sort of had it in mind that that was the reason Katie went over there, to actually book you as a future guest for the Midweek Drive. Hang on, just Emma, of course, is a Surrey girl and is doing wonders in Surrey and is doing all sorts of other bits. Emma, you're in level two now. You're sort of bursting through that. You've gone through your year one scenario from that perspective. And Katie, you'd be pleased to know they've had the traditional let's explore our nail varnish routine and various other discussions on the show so far, which is always good. Any questions you might have, Katie, for Emma Tinson?
I don't know, really.
No,
I think so.
Well, there we are. Sorry, Emma, but you know, when Katie makes.
I feel left out.
She's harsh but fair. You know, that's the key thing. Maybe it's sort of pre sort of breakfast time stuff that's coming through. But never mind, we still actually ensuring that.
Isn't it William Sitwell's birthday today?
Well, you see, you know, this is one of the reasons why I was thinking. Let's initially go to this.
Katie Grimason, Birmingham's gift to the galaxy. On the Midweek Drive for Siren FM and more.
You see, Phil Learness, Katie hasn't forgotten you. That's the important thing. Yeah, we are. It's one day, hopefully, Emma and Jessica will get your own personalised jingles as well. But, you know, as Phil was saying last night, it's an exciting time in so many ways from that point of view. But yes, you're absolutely right, Katie. Today, we obviously celebrate. I've already sent the message to him via Facebook. But William Sitwell, our culinary guru and major editor of Waitrose Food, of course, is celebrating his birthday today. So happy birthday to William.
Yes, I heard what he said about me last week.
Yeah, well, there we are. You see, that's you know, it's always important, as you say, get your rear end in gear. It's always important. That's the advice for the whole thing. Meanwhile, these guys are also coming to Lincoln. They're performing at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre this Friday.
I'm Gary.
I'm Matt.
I'm Rippy.
And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
See these Americans giving you that own sort of echo. Exactly. It's personalised echo, like traditional boombox things. Coming up, Katie, we'll be speaking to Richard Fitzwilliams. You obviously met Richard. What advice would you give Emma and Jessica on coping with the Fitzwilliam Meister?
Concentrate
on what he says.
Because it's easy to get zoned out.
He's zoned out? Outrageous.
Alex, what's Ed Wellman up to nowadays?
What is Ed Wellman not up to nowadays? He is involved as one of the main sort of leaders behind the exciting world of Siren Voices, which is a new choir that is being put together. And in fact, it's tonight they have their first rehearsal. Or rehearsal, if you're in a sort of American Brooklyn sort of way. And that's all set up for a fantastic sort of event that could be taking place on the 18th of December. I say could, it will be. Let's be positive. The 18th. Exactly. Let's go with that. You can still sign up, actually. Even you, Katie, if you fancy travelling in back from Birmingham, could actually sign up for the Siren Voices Choir. It's a fun time. And of course, it's thanks to Ed, really, that Jessica, you're with us today. Because he effectively sort of dragged you forcibly along and said, get yourself on the Midweek Drive or equivalent, really.
Yes, he inspired me.
inspired her.
Wow, so that's deep.
So does that help? In fact, I've just showed both Jessica and... see, the excitement filled there. Jessica and Emma, you see, wake up. That's the important thing. Wake up all the time. I've just shown them a photograph of yourself and Ed and Holly Cox and Nikki Wells and Emily and Rosie from, last Christmas, really, when they were celebrating sort of Nikki Wells' stuff, etc. So there we are. It's all there. Facebook, Southside Broadcasting is the aspect you need to go to, or just go to sirenonline.co.uk, find our page for the Midweek Drive, and you can follow the lines from there. Right, okay, let's see if we've got that magic still in place. Emma, you didn't do this yesterday, but I think you sort of followed through the sort of general routine. Would you like to throw those last two questions to Katie Grimason, please?
I would love to. So, first of all, have you enjoyed yourself on today's show?
Yes, I have, as always.
And will you be back?
Yeah, of course I will.
Of course, you found that happy place. just on the 107.3 FM region. Isn't that right, Richard Fitzwilliams?
Absolutely right. That's where you find the Riot Club as well.
The Riot Club. Amazing. Let's do the introductions because we have two voices you have not heard as yet before, Richard, because they're making their... Well, actually, it's not their... They're into their second and third shows, respectively. Emma Tinson is here, a Surrey gal and fine Level 2 journalism student, who I'm sure will be joining us on one of our London jaunts in the not-too-distant future, won't you?
Yes, hopefully.
There we are. That's Emma Tinson. And we have, originally from New Zealand, now based in the fabulous Isle of Man, the wonderful Jessica Ward.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Jessica.
Excellent, excellent stuff. Actually, Jessica, I just realised, if your parents didn't catch, or if your mum didn't catch the special dedication you did yesterday, she might never catch it because I might have edited it out of the podcast.
Oh,
stuff.
No. I'll tell her. There'll be a thought that counts.
It is the thought, and we will reprise that whole thing because we were having one or two challenges yesterday. I think, obviously, the podcast from yesterday's show is online now. You can download it from southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, etc.
Yes.
Four parts. But I have a feeling I might just have clipped out that particular dedication. And as you know, Richard, you know, in terms of etiquette and protocol, etc., if you've got a parental dedication that's been put in there, it's lost, it could create so many hassles.
Indeed. Oh, indeed.
Anyway, what would you like to talk to us about today, Richard Fitzwilliams?
Well, firstly, I think I mentioned just fleetingly of the Turner Prize. This, of course, was celebrating 30 years. We've all heard of it, and indeed... It originally, I think, served a very important purpose because in 1984, those who supported contemporary art didn't have a prize that they could call their own. And there was little doubt the art establishment thought one way. The populace, on the whole, tended to think the other, preferring figurative work. And what we've got is something that, well, it's basically for a British artist under 50, the emphasis was always tremendously on youth and also on the outrage and the scandalous headlines that were produced over the years. But there's no doubt a large number of important artists won it. And I am disappointed to say that 30 years I've been much entertained by what I've seen in my visits, but on this occasion we've got four artists, three choosing visual media, and also one must make the point that the prize is awarded for the work during the year, so this is only a certain amount, so we only see a certain amount of what they're judging on, but it's pretty impenetrable to a public that'll have to pay £11 to see it. And Duncan Campbell's video, well, I mean, one of them is 54 minutes. You know, you're asking an awful, awful lot. And frankly, I thought all four were substandard. There's one of them where you see a leisurely landscape on a visual, on the screen, and then you have a discordant sound next door to you, somebody speaking at four or five times the sound that they normally, the pace they normally do. I mean, it doesn't work very well. There's somebody who's papered a wall.
Okay. Let's just hold it back here because we might actually be doing a piece on the Tate Modern, I should say, back end of October. In fact, October 31st. But we see a short list. We've got Duncan Campbell, we've got Kira Phillips, James Richards, and Tris Vonna Michelle. Is that right?
That's right. And James Richards has a rather curious video where there are pictures, obscene pictures from a fact for books with certain parts somewhat hidden because someone has defaced them. It's a bit curious.
Well, we're currently, we've pulled up the video and we're actually having a look at the sort of sequence now from the Turner Prize. So this is running as a backdrop here. It's James Richards' sort of piece, and Emma, obviously, not providing commentary as such, but, you know, Emma and Louise Jessica will actually provide this. So we've got the back of his head now, you know, in terms of that. That's sort of nice. Then we've got sort of an explosion. This is apparently his contribution of the Encyclopedic Palace at the 55th Venice. Oh, that's why he was nominated, but it's looking interesting, Richard. It's looking interesting.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, the point with art is what an individual gets out of it. How does it communicate? But there's absolutely no doubt that wandering around it, I wondered how many people would really enjoy it and also how few I felt would be stimulated by it. I was I have to say I was rather bored. Keira Phillips, the prince, and indeed there's a photograph of a woman, and that is inverted in some of them, and I couldn't make out who the woman was, and I didn't feel terribly curious. Tris Von Mitchell, well, again, we've got more videos. I have to say that there's a curious exhibit, and quite interesting, the artist's mother as a child in post-war Berlin. But the narratives, very curious then, as I mentioned, this rather strange commentary. Duncan Campbell, yes, well, as I say, the one that lasts an hour, if you watch the whole hour, and I didn't have time, I have to be frank, there were those who found a good deal of merit in it. He's the one who's been tipped by critics to win.
Hmm.
But it's always worth going to see, because sometimes even if an outrageous work is shortlisted, and that gets the tabloids talking about it, Turner Prize.
Do you remember The Unmade Bed, of course? Yeah,
The Unmade Bed didn't win. It's quite interesting that the most famous exhibit ever in the Turner Prize, Tracy Emin's My Bed, didn't actually win. But nonetheless, the artists and sculptors involved over the years, from Richard Long to Anthony Gormley and Damien Hirst, who won, incidentally, not for a sliced animal, but for a painting. And recently, one of the trends that I've detected, which I have to say I've been very pleased about, is the fact that painting has started to feature again. And also, I think one of the important facts is the prize is £25,000, too, and there have been famous occasions like Madonna swearing, as well she might in 2002, when An Empty Room with a Blinking Light, a work by Martin Creed, actually won it. The facts are, it has started to be a bit more inclusive. And also, it does publicize art, because nationally and internationally it's known. So from the point of view of publicity and hype, it has been an unqualified success. There's no doubt about that.
Well, we've currently been watching various videos of Duncan Campbell. It's getting almost hypnotic about the whole thing. Jessica, your thoughts on what you've been looking at so far? I think they're not sort of just slices of the artist's life in many ways that we're seeing here.
It seems very interesting. It's quite hard to see exactly what they're looking at sometimes because of the camera shots angles. But right now I'm looking at a mask and it looks very interesting.
Yeah, unwrapping the mask.
Yes, the process is really nice.
Could be pretentious twaddle, but never mind. It could also be art and a way of actually symbolising the disassociated world in which we live in, where cognitive dissonance tends to resonate with the political environment of the mise-en-scene. Sorry, Richard, I thought I'd give you a phrase.
One of the horrors of the Turner Prize, by the way, is the... and I've always found this, when you start reading the blurb... I mean, it's absolutely fatal. But I would mention that Chiwetel Ejiofor is going to be announcing the winner on the 1st of December, and that links back to Steve McQueen, who won in a past year. So that's rather an interesting link with 12 Years a Slave.
Well, absolutely. It's another artistic, wonderful scenario. Okay, let's move from Emma, any thoughts on the sort of Turner Prize?
It's interesting. I mean, I always find it very difficult to judge art because obviously everyone has a different view and a different opinion, so it's hard to say what's good and what's not, but it certainly looks very interesting.
Well, if it provokes thoughts and ideas, if it inspires you in any sense, or indeed if it horrifies you, it is a part of an experience that I think overall we'd have been much poorer without.
So can the same be said about your two movie selections this week, Richard?
Well, just before we get on to them, I just wanted to recommend an exhibition at the Victorian and Albert Museum of the photographer Horst, of the last century, one of the top photographers. And if you want to see some absolutely fabulous images, then I really would recommend it. If fashion appeals, he was attached to Vogue, and whether it's Coco Chanel or Marlene Dietrich... indeed, whether it's nudes or a famous Mönchengladbacher corset, which he took in Paris before he left.
To be precise, of course, Horst P. Horst. Yeah, that's the sixth. Sorry, it sounds like the bones are creaking there. Obviously, you need a bit of oil there for the computer screen as you just work your way through. High technology, Richard.
But nonetheless, an exhibition for those who are fashion conscious to savour.
There we are, Victoria and Albert Museum, the world's greatest museum of art and design, and it's running, obviously, from the 6th of September to the 4th of January. I think we should probably actually do a little feature on that, Richard. What do you think, Emma?
Yeah,
think,
yeah, the V&A's a great museum, so, yeah.
What's that, all
right. Absolutely lovely recreation of various stills of his the home that he shared with his lover, a British diplomat, Valentine Lawford, in Oyster Bay in Long Island. That really gives you an idea of the extraordinary taste he had. And there are numerous works where you have this amazing talent, whether it's the nudes or whether it's flowers and shells or whether it's travel pictures, but above all, fashion. There are also some lovely outfits on show, so if you...
Well, absolutely. Yes, I'm not quite sure what sort of the meaning of it in terms of the timeline happens to be, but there we are. Yes, the photographer of style timeline. Yes, like bathing costume.
But mind you, when you move on to the Riot Club,
there we are. So, where are we going with respect to this movie thing? Is it a riot, or are you predicting one?
Well, it's extremely entertaining, and it is well made. I mean, I do have to say that Laura Wade's play Posh could have been adapted for the screen in a very heavy-handed way, but she's written the screenplay. It's directed by Lerna Scherfig, who did An Education, which launched Carey Mulligan. It's set in Oxford, and obviously it's based on the exploits of the notorious Bullingdon Club. And some of our top politicians, as well we know, from the Prime Minister to the Mayor of London, were members, and this adds a topicality to it. The facts are that, and I was amused by this, when one talks about hereditary principles and what you achieve in life, which you yourself are responsible for, and what you inherit, I was amused to see in the cast that's the son of Jeremy Irons, and also the son of... Edward Fox.
Mm.
But the roles that two of them play, I mean, the Bullingdon set in Oxford, the city of dreaming spires, the haunt of the privileged few, but there are only 10 members of the Bullingdon Club. And what is particularly interesting is the performances of Max Irons as Miles and Sam Claflin, remember the Hunger Games, as Alistair. They join. And I have to say that the way we're introduced to the club and its various traditions, a very funny clip from a past century showing how originally it was founded, the person honoured is actually R-Y-O-T and met a very sticky end. But nonetheless...
The official line, Richard, we see filthy, rich, spoilt, rotten. Mm. Two first-year students at Oxford University join the infamous Riot Club, where reputations can be made or destroyed over the course of a single evening. Wow.
That sounds very entertaining.
It is entertaining. You know, the facts are that there's not the certain bizarre link between the behaviour of anarchists and that of toffs who behave in so revolting and grotesque a way.
I say, Richard.
They trash rooms.
Oh, outrageous.
Indeed. And they stuff themselves, and also they have...
Snort away regularly? No, never mind.
They chew... No, that is precisely... it's not Gerard Depardieu in Welcome to New York.
I'll be pushing it a wee bit too far, I think, Richard.
Yes, indeed. It is, in fact, part of the feast that the Riot Club... lay on in one of the few places they've been banned for everywhere else, and for very good reasons, as we discover. The less you know about what happens, the better, because a surprise, and there are several nonetheless, will entertain, but it's well photographed.
Okay.
The direction is extremely good, and it's got a very fine cast. For example, a very a good little cameo from Tom Hollander and Douglas Booth, Freddie Fox, as well as Max Irons, Sam Claflin. A very, very enjoyable and entertaining, and also very hard-hitting. This is a movie that's got... It's not only portraying the most ghastly and grotesque of excesses, it's also very, very hard-hitting and destructive.
OK, on that basis, Jessica Ward, will you be going to see The Riot Club?
Yes, I think it sounds very good.
Thumbs up from Jessica. What about yourself, Emma?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really, really interesting. You say it's quite hard-hitting and, like...
It is. I'm avoiding any spoilers.
This
country pub is run by a landlord who initially is rather deferential, the idea that he's entertaining the scions of the rich and the privileged. Well, I mean, this appeals. Things change, and they change in a way which does have a powerful impact, and indeed is thought-provoking. It could easily have been overdone.
So where are we going to go next, Richard?
Go to Hollywood.
Are we really? Very good. Okay, and what, pray tell, have you selected from that particular neck of the woods?
Well, Maps to the Stars is, frankly, Hollywood is, and I mean this has been done a number of times, Hollywood has been put under the visual microscope, you could say, I mean from Sunset Boulevard to The Player. Well, in this case, I mean quite literally, it is a freak show. You have a top-rate cast, Julianne Moore, who plays Havana Seagrand. She's obsessed by her legendary star, of her mother, who abused her, and she undergoes therapy to try and come to terms with this. But she also wants to play her mother in an upcoming film. She's still very ambitious. Her mother appears to her as a ghost. And her therapist...
Richard, it's directed by David Cronenberg. We need
it
to say no
most
more.
Certainly. Yes, yes, and certainly Cronenberg is putting in the knife, the scalpel, and every other weapon he possibly can. This Havana psychologist and healer is Dr. Stafford Weiss, played by John Cusack. Very mannered performance. He's very, very good. And he's a top TV celebrity as well. The last thing he and his wife, Christina, played by Olivia Williams, want, their daughter... a pyromaniac who is badly scarred and whom they are estranged, Mia Wasikowska, no less, playing Agatha Weiss, turning up, which is precisely what she does.
It's always problematic, and I'm sure parents the world over will agree when they find out your daughter's a pyromaniac, isn't it, really? Put those matches down, Jessica.
Yes, and also it causes difficulty. We have... a very good performance by Evan Bird as Benji Weissen. He is a teen star, and indeed, I have to say that in Hollywood he is a sort of, you could say, Justin Bieber-like character. Indeed, and someone who's also extremely dysfunctional. And in these characters, about the only one who isn't, Robert Pattinson, plays Jerome, who's a chauffeur dreaming of stardom.
But he was in Twilight. What more does he ask for?
He asks for an awful lot being in this film because, again, no spoilers, and visually it's very strong. But this is a movie that is deeply unpleasant. I have to say I left it feeling, well, as I was meant to, no doubt. But you feel that you have been compulsively fascinated by something particularly nasty. I mean, this... basically, it can't see a belt in Tinseltown without hitting beneath it, and that is precisely what it does, despite excellent performances from the entire cast. Julianne Moore is always very powerful. She
Mark Kermode has said it's a magnificently horrendous performance.
Yes, it is a magnificently horrendous performance. I would agree. I would say that the performances are all extremely good. The material is simply vicious. The freak show aspect of it is overplayed, but if this sort of thing appeals, it is indeed well done.
David Cronenberg entering the dark heart of Hollywood, a towering performance by Julianne Moore drives the Canadian director's study of the terrors of Tinseltown. Maybe we should take that with Phil Lynas next week.
Terrors is a very good word to describe aspects of the plot. I didn't believe a lot of it, but my goodness me, I was drawn in. Equally, I felt afterwards that I really was relieved to escape from it. But Hollywood has never been subjected, as far as I can remember, to an attack quite like this. This is really taking, as I say, the scalpel to Tinseltown.
Well, he's Canadian. What do you expect? As many Americans might possibly say. What do we make of that particular one, the Maps of Hollywood, Maps to the Stars, Emma?
It sounds really interesting. I mean, I'm never too excited about dark films, but this sounds quite deep and emotional and something that's quite thought-provoking as well. So it could be quite an interesting watch, even if it's something that, you know, makes you feel a bit depressed afterwards.
It does most certainly hits you, and it's a film. There's something polluting about some of it, which is why, as a movie, certainly I didn't like it, but then I wasn't meant to. I can't dispute its power. And there's no doubt at all, I mean, the performers are invariably excellent, and what you've got is something that's impressive, impressively made, but the ideas behind it and the plot, when you go and see it, you will discover my meaning. I think that it's an impressive work, but it is a deeply destructive one. In fact, we've had two films that are destructive in very different ways.
Quite clearly. Riot Club and Maps to the Stars, as well as, of course, the Horse exhibition at the V&A and the Turner Prize. Make it what you will. But the last two questions we need to put to Richard Fitzwilliams. We haven't zoned out. Hooray! Katie Grimason will be proud. Will be delivered to you by Jessica. Jessica, over to you, please.
Richard, have you enjoyed yourself on the show today?
Yes, I very definitely have, and thank you for your contribution.
Oh, that's all right. And will we be hearing from you again?
Yes, most certainly. I hope so.
It's very impressive, Jessica. I mean, to actually get a commendation from Richard on your first, it's high praise indeed. Yeah. We used to be international editor of International Who's Who, of course. So there we are.